Listen up. You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones.
It's a Thursday, Morganing.
It's a Thursday, migraining. I'd like any of the neurologists that listen to this show to text in and tell me when you can see me, because this cannot be life. I made it. I love you, fiancés. I also know that I'm probably going to just, you know, what's the right word? Croak directly after this on my couch. Like, Yep. I'm really trying to keep it together, but there's a nausea factor that is sort of running the world right now. I can't really hear you. I mean, sorta. Michelle, are you there? Can you let us know what's our what's our sound looking like out there?
I do love, again, that Michelle is both the Monday and Thursday tech.
She's quality control. Yeah. Absolutely.
Control is quality.
Yeah. We have a lot to talk about today. As you all know, the fun drive has begun. Monday. It's a big kickoff. Today's our day. And it's really bothering me that a migraine would happen upon a morning in which I need to be able to do backflips while talking on a microphone.
Come with full energy.
All the energy.
Yeah.
Now, I have not read every email, Nina. I'm sorry. But I'm unaware in this moment if there is, in fact, a way for me to win a sweatshirt.
Oh, my God.
And that is, you know, an answer I'll need. That's an answer I'll need to...
Before the end of the show?
Well, not necessarily.
Before the end of the fun drive.
By the end of the fun drive. You know, I don't want to lie to anyone and tell them that you know, we're on track to get to a sweatshirt if that's not a thing. You know what I mean? I can't tell if you know what I mean. You know?
I know what you mean. AJ said you're a trooper, Morgan.
Oh, good morning. Thank you. I'm trying. I hope that we can get some energy.
That you can melt a little bit, but no cracking. Morgan sounds good. Ambush, where are you? Giving ghost whispers, sir. I'm seeing myself coming now. So it was something here with the cable.
It says now Ambush sounds regular.
Yeah.
It was just so right you're back in action. Is AJ also quality control? Backup quality control.
You know what I'm saying? Good things.
It does make me worry about Michelle. Are the phone lines open? You know? But very thankful for AJ.
The phone lines open.
Did you turn the phone on?
Is the landline
ready to receive text messages?
Shout out to AJ and EGC.
Yes.
Had a great time getting up with them earlier this week for season 2 of Sharing Culture.
Yes.
Really, really great interviews. Kent Ford, one of the original Black Panthers here in Portland. So that was great. And then there's a young man, James Lovely. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Amazing. Amazing. Just brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant young chap.
All of this energy and language makes me think this is a very young person.
He's about to turn 9.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
If y'all can see, Ambush turns into everybody's uncle when he's talking about little kids. And it's my most favorite because he lights up.
It's true.
It's like, oh my goodness, this brilliant 8-year-old.
Yeah.
He can't stop smiling right now.
It's true. Now my cheeks are just blistered.
It's adorable. Yeah.
Uncle Ambush is a real thing. And then shout out to Daniel Grady from Black Futures Farms. It was a really good production day, knocking out those 3 interviews. We got some more on the way. But yeah.
Good morning, Michelle. She's made it. She said, good morning. We made it. We just had our own technical difficulties. Good morning to you both.
Blame us. Technical difficulties are obviously contagious.
It's what happens on Thursdays and Mondays. You know? It's Mercury is in Gatorade.
It's in Gatorade.
Yeah. That's how that works.
But you touched on it earlier. Yeah, we're fun driving. We are fun driving.
We're driving the funds.
You know what I'm saying? Helping you guys drive your funds to our peer-to-peer page.
And I know you were like, God, Morgan, you're always talking about you getting a sweatshirt. Let me tell you how you can get your own. Okay? While hopefully, Nina.
Nina?
Huh? Hopefully there is a...
The fact that you're giving the microphone come hither eyes.
Well, it's Nina. Yeah. Nina's right there. Nina. I'm hoping she can hear it. And through the
airwaves.
Thank you. I was like, microphone? No. See, this is what happens. Get a migraine. None of the words make sense. So there are some amazing thank you gifts.
Yes.
This go round for sustained giving or the equivalent in a one-time gift. So you want to give us $10 a month or 120 one-time payment, you're getting a beanie. And this is a beautiful embroidered beanie. This is not, you know, some haphazard situation.
Yeah, nah. That's the one thing I'll definitely say about X-ray merch.
They come through.
The quality is there. Locally sourced, and the quality is there, guys.
The last t-shirt that I received from a fun drive. Thank you, Nina. One of my favorites. I wore it yesterday.
The one you came home bragging about? The one from the meeting?
Oh, no. No. Okay. If you were there, you could have got one, too. That was just... I won bingo after other people won bingo. Okay. There were lots of people that won bingo at the All Station meeting, and that t-shirt, top notch. It's so soft. I love it very much. I love it very much. If you get $15 a month or 180 one time, you get an X-ray record tote.
Nice.
This year's logo, super hard. Like the...
Oh, yeah.
Or what'd you say? For your what?
I said for all your vinyls.
Oh, the plurals. Plural record.
I detest it.
$20 a month or 240 one time gets you a limited edition sweatshirt. And this is where we're talking, guys. When I tell you, we got some situations this go around. There is, of course, a black and white sweatshirt. But there is a green-pink situation, real cute, and a red and pink situation, even cuter.
Those are fire.
Out here. These are some fire sweatshirts. $25 a month or a $300-plus one-time payment. Any combination of the 3 items up to your total giving level. So here's the other thing. You can switch it up. If you give $25 a month, you can get a $15 item and a $10 item. You know, you get choices around here when you keep us on the air and keep this station going.
Yeah.
Especially in moments like this where, you know, the local scene is pretty interesting.
That's the way you put it.
Yeah, as we were, was that yesterday, Ambush? The headline that you read me was,
oh,
pizzeria selling pizza with a side of cocaine.
Yeah. Reported by, was it Coin?
Coin or KGW?
KGW, one of those on their Twitter. Yeah. Only for us to find out.
Well, you click the link there and it's Germany.
Yeah.
Germany. They're talking about Germany. And the way that they said it didn't sound, you know, you could put that in the headline.
Yeah.
Pizza shop in Germany selling cocaine.
With slices of pizza.
With slices of pizza.
Yeah.
Instead, it sounded like it was on, you know, Hawthorne.
I was going to say it sounded like it's on Burnside.
Right. Like, oh, this is in Southeast? Where's this happening?
I literally was like, which pizza shop do we know
for real
doing this? Anything for clicks.
One of my favorite responses was like, oh no, what a terrible idea. How could they do this? Where is this place? What do I ask for?
What do I ask for? That was the best one.
How do I get there?
Oh my gosh.
Anyway.
Yeah.
When at least we're telling you this is a national story, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
Off top.
Internet.
Also, just not trying to. Yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. The clickbait, the rage bait, the making it sound as if, you know, the hellscape in which they report on every day in Portland is, in fact, you know, Gotham. And that's, you know, they know that people aren't clicking in, reading that. They know on Twitter people are reading that headline. They're like, see, Pizza Shoals or something.
Right. And,
like,
then, and then they just keep scrolling.
That hot now that's on right, the, you know, like, come on.
That sizzle rod.
Yeah.
Right. But now that's in their mind.
Yep.
And they're on the rest of their day. And they're like, yo, you won't believe what I saw on local news in Portland. This is why I moved away from there. They're selling cocaine with pizza. Good job. Good job.
Which place? Oh, I don't know.
Someplace in Portland. You know,
somewhere in
spots.
Portland, it's probably.
They love pizza.
And then we just start talking about probablys and maybes and I'm guessings. Ah.
Indeed.
Anywho, we have a goal for the day. And the goal for the day is $3,250, 30 total givers. And what we really want to see, guys, you hear me? 5 new members.
Boom.
Big 5.
Kenneth said, my boss at an old job at a pizza place on Hawthorne got fired for getting cocaine delivered to them while at work.
Not the DoorDash of your dreams.
Oh my gosh.
That's a wild boss. How do you tell someone else not to get drugs delivered to work? Right on me.
I'm just... I mean... As the employee, right? I'm just looking at this dude like, oh, it's up and it's stuck. It's all bets are off.
How else am I making it through the night? This shift is rough. Not at work, though. Okay, so...
It can't be like, meet me on my break at the corner.
Kenneth, here's my question. Did they come in? Did they sit down? Or did they buy anything? Was there any smoothness to this transaction? Or was it like, what up, man? I'm here with your cocaine. Let me get a slice.
Call me to deliver your cocaine.
DoorDash here, got the cocaine.
Nose dash here. Wow. That's, okay. This is a little bit more spirited.
I'm used to it.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Right?
It's true.
Yeah. Okay. What would be helpful to me? Is an earlier music break than normal, but let us give what we're chatting about today if that's cool.
Sounds good to me.
Come back.
Yeah.
Hit a little, what's going on with this measure 110? I don't know. Any, 118. Or 118. See, man.
You said, man.
I just want to put my head down so bad. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to misspeak a lot, I think. Maybe I shouldn't be the one talking so much. And it's not like Ambush is not trying to talk. I'm literally just keep going. So I'm sorry.
It's quite all right. Involved. It's what the people want. Get some going.
Well, we'll talk about 118 when we get back from a break. We're also going to talk a Portland woman who's facing some challenges in a spousal identity theft case. I cannot wait for you to tell me all about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be honest, guys. I know about two of the stories that we're doing. We had a big birthday yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
To be clear, I am not hungover.
No, it wasn't that type of birthday.
Not that kind of birthday. But big 1-8, baby.
One of our littles. Our littlest the littlest. Littlest little.
Out of here. Gone.
Adulthood.
She told me she's never leaving. So.
Oh.
She told me that last night.
Really?
Yep. Huh. I was like, yay, it's your time.
She said, I'm never leaving.
She was like, I'm not going anywhere. And I was like, well, obviously not right now because you're in school. And she was like, ever. Never. Never yeah. going anywhere.
Lies.
Oh, big ones.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's cute to hear.
It is. Some national news. A Memphis police officer pleads guilty to stealing $18,000 in Crime Stoppers reward money.
Which is just called overtime.
That's yeah, I think overtime is a good description for that.
Or it's wow. actually the pot is called what's the over or under?
What's
the,
right.
And then you just take it.
Wow. And if you haven't heard yet,
whoa.
Former Abercrombie & Fitch CEO Mike Jeffries Boy. Indicted on sex trafficking charges.
Listen. They all know each other. I'm just going to say that. They have trainings and TED Talks on Epstein Island.
There's been an opening of Pantera's box.
No, that's...
What? That's the box,
that's guys. That's not the box.
All right.
No.
Kevin said, leaving home in this economy? I don't blame her.
Not doing it. Like, who can? You know? Like,
get out of here.
Foolishness. Wish my parents would let me back in. Wait, does that work?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I also don't wish that.
My parents would let me back in.
You know?
Just show up
with just in stuff. This economy. Right. I don't want to have to deal with this. It's too much. Let's all go live with Nick and Cher.
Boom.
Not going to make it. All right. Music break that, me.
A music break? Okay, I'll hit you with a music break. And then we'll be right on back. And we are back. I want to issue a retraction.
Aha.
Earlier, I was saying that, you know, with some of the sex trafficking cases that are popping up, obviously Pantera's box has been opened. Jorah corrected me. It is indeed Panera's box. I know some of you are thinking, isn't it Pandora's box? You're wrong.
What was it? I'm sorry?
Panera box.
It is Panera's box.
It's Panera's box that's been opened.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thank you for the, you know, yeah. retraction
yeah.
and correction.
It was necessary. That's the way responsible media works.
It's true.
And for anyone that doesn't understand, how did we get here? Sex trafficking. Pizzagate, dough, bread, Panera, Panera's okay. box.
Oh, I just thought there'd be some of that in there too.
Oh.
But I was wrong. Mistaken.
Right there. All ties together. It's not hard, people. You just have to want to see the truth.
You know, the dots are there.
Yeah.
Connect them. Okay? Get them connected.
Get them connected. But again, we are in the fun drive. All right?
We on. I'm the soundboard today.
Everyone who gives between now and midnight on Sunday will be entered to win a 1 month pinball machine rental to have in your own household.
Bah, 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 bah.
From Wedgehead.
Wedgehead coming through with the big gift.
Are you even ready? Do you know which pinball machine it is?
Oh, no.
I haven't seen the little ads on X-Ray. It includes delivery, first off.
Which
and
I
the
think
setup.
Is, yeah, that's
it's essential. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be specific, the winner will be getting a rental of the Lord of the Rings
Uh-oh.
Pinball machine.
Uh-oh. LOTR, baby.
Ranked one of the top 10 machines of all time.
Really?
Yeah. Which will cost you up to $10,000 to buy as a permanent fixture
Whoa.
In your home. That's pretty serious.
I saved everybody from the yell I was about to get.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Wedgehead, located at 3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. Wedgehead has a rotating collection of over 150 pinball machines.
It's insane in there, too. Like, it's really fun.
Have you been there?
Yeah, we went there for Megan's birthday.
I wasn't sure. Okay. With 21 on the floor at any one time, plus a full bar and restaurant, and co-op team tournaments every Thursday. For more information, you can head to wedgeheadpdx.com. Booyah. Did you already tell them what the goal for today was?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will say the funny story along with being at Wedgehead is I believe you locked the keys in the trunk.
That's not funny, but it is a story. I'll tell you that much. Yeah. Oh, there was something else I was supposed to mention. Head to our peer-to-peer.
Yes, there's exactly what you're supposed to
do. Yes, head to our peer-to-peer to donate. You can donate several different ways. You can go to the website. Hit the banner right there for the fun drive. You can hit the donate button. You can head to our peer-to-peer also from the main page or from the donation page. It's like donate for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You hit that link. You can also go to the News of My Fiance Instagram.
Link and in bio.
Link is in the bio for our peer-to-peer. Shout out to someone who already donated. I think it was B. Plummer.
Thank you.
Yes. Shouting us off, what we do, what we bring to the Thursday mornings here.
Now, if you were with us last week, you may have, you may remember the war that began. A one Rudo Stapled Sounds, our very own.
Our guy.
Decided to, you know, plant a flag in the sand. Is that how they say it?
Yeah. You want to tell them what he did? Because I don't think they know.
What he did after?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I get home. I get a notification that looks like Jack Rudo. I open it. Do you know what this man has done? He has come into this studio and he has scribbled out my name. My sign in? Like, very violently is what I would say.
It's an aggressive scrib.
Yes, an aggressive scrib. Just me, my name, my show, you know?
Scratched right out the log.
And then put that he was Rudo Pettier because he called me Morgan Petty.
Yeah, he did call you Morgan Petty.
But he forgot that the reason he called me that is because I don't back down.
Now, I will admit, when I saw it, I couldn't resist the urge to call him Rudo Pettier.
Pettier. He did. You did.
Yeah.
And I forgot it in this moment. I'm sorry.
See, you didn't back down.
We just, you know, I'm not going to do it. So 2 days ago.
Harper said I tuned in at the perfect time.
Good morning, Harper. 2 days ago was one Rudo's birthday.
It was.
And I wanted to celebrate him.
I feel like you did.
Well, we got a little, you know, piece of information, if you will.
Insiders.
Insider tips. That, you know, there was some switching going on. Mm. Some political thought was getting different over there. And We exposed him for who he really is. It was a very happy birthday, but apparently he wants you to vote for Rene Gonzalez. And
that's, I will admit, I was quite surprised, Bruno.
The disappointment, the shock, the awe. Could not believe this is who you've been.
Pearls were clutch, bro.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And really, honestly, I just want to be able to support Harper in this hard time.
She just hashtag Team Morgan, so.
And so.
The way you just lead it. Just
to the point.
Like a sportscaster.
I did. I don't know what happened there. Harper gets me excited, obviously. This is your moment to show your support for us in this tough time. And all of the things you were going to do for Rudo, for his birthday, or for his own peer-to-peer, you know where it goes now because we have brought you that breaking news. He is an enemy of progress now. And we can't have that. So send us your donations that you were ever going to give to him directly to our peer-to-peer so that we can beat him.
Wow.
And show him who's boss. Is what they say.
Okay.
I'm really scared he's just going to walk in behind me. There is a very real possibility this door is going to swing open and he's behind me.
He's a man of excellent timing, for sure.
Happy belated birthday, Rudo. I hope you liked your gift from me.
Yeah. I think he loved it.
Harper? I'm holding your hand, babe. Anything you need.
You got me.
Yep. You feel it? Feel that? Love radiating.
Right over.
Right over. Okay, will you do me the kindness?
What am I doing?
Of doing the first story. And I don't care which one you pick.
All right. Did you want to get into 118? Did you?
Oh. Right. Okay. Actually,
yeah.
Tell me about 118 because right. I am preliminarily learning and I'm getting confused.
I
don't have a position because I'm confused.
So I want to say, I don't want to call it a controversial measure, but
I think it probably is.
It's been polarizing for sure. You think it's controversial, eh?
I think any idea of universal basic income is controversial in a capitalist world.
Mm. A redistribution of the wealth.
Yeah, I think that's controversial. I don't think that it should be. It much like, you know, I have feelings about the words that I think should go for other causes. Like, I think it should be radical to, I think it's radical to want genocide. You know, like, I think that that's like yeah. not. Yeah. So when someone's like, yeah, sorry.
No, fine. I thought.
So controversial in that way. Yes, I think it is. I do not think that universal basic income should be much like I don't think reparations should be. I think that everything that has been extracted, all of the wealth that has been extracted from lands, people, in the way of oppressing and exploiting. I think it's crazy that I think it's radical for those people to then tell us to be peaceful.
Completely.
So I don't think it should be controversial, but I think that anytime we're talking about money going from the wealthy to the non-wealthy, it's going to be controversial.
Yeah.
All right. I'm
so for anyone unfamiliar with Measure 118, at a glance, what it basically is the corporate community, these larger organizations and companies will be taxed, and that tax will then be redistributed. You have to make over a certain $1 million amount. Multi-million dollar amount. And then those taxes will be redistributed to Oregon residents. everyone in Oregon gets $1,600. So if you got a family of four, everyone in the house. I wonder if it's like above 18. Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So some of the pros discussed there. Obviously, it sounds good. Like, you know, give me the money. Increased state revenue. Measure 118 is expected to substantially raise revenue from corporate minimum taxes, particularly from large businesses under the new rules. Corporations with high sales would see a shift from traditional profit-based tax calculations to a sales-based minimum tax. This could mean more consistent revenue, even from companies that manage to report lower profits. Rebate payments to residents. The measure includes a provision for rebates to be distributed to eligible residents, which could provide financial relief, especially for low-income households. This redistribution aims to offset some of the tax burden passed on to consumers through higher product prices. And reduction of economic distortion. By focusing on sales-based taxation, Measure 118 minimizes the potential distortions that arise from profit-based taxes, which can be affected by accounting strategies. It aims for a fair share of taxes from companies benefiting from sales in Oregon, regardless of their operational base. Those are some of the pros there. Now, as far as some of the cons, potential price increases. Critics argue that the additional tax burden on companies might be passed down to consumers in the form of higher prices. Businesses with low profit margins, such as retailers and utilities, may face difficulties absorbing the tax and might raise costs to stay profitable.
Agreed.
Yeah. They might. They raise prices whenever they want.
Not only do they raise prices whenever they want, they're looking for reasons to pass more on to a customer.
Right.
So even if this tax did not change, didn't need to change any pricing, they're going to do that anyway.
Yeah. Period.
Any moment to be like, we had no option here.
Sure. Yeah.
How else were we supposed to have billions of profits? No, not billions here, but.
Right. another con out there, so I've seen some ads around this, is the impact on small and medium businesses. While the measure primarily targets larger corporations, smaller businesses operating on thin margins might also be affected if they fall into the higher tax brackets. This could lead to reduced competitiveness, especially if neighboring states maintain lower corporate tax rates. Administrative challenges. Implementing the measure would require significant adjustments from state agencies. The Oregon Department of Revenue, for example, would need to manage new rebate systems and potentially hire more staff to handle the complexities of the revised tax calculations.
Mm-hmm.
This expansion
sounds like jobs.
Yeah. Sounds like job creation.
Yeah.
This expansion could increase state expenses, countering some of the revenue gains.
Bye.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, we might have to hire people to do the work that could cost us money. Yeah. It's going to.
Some analysts warn that companies might seek to move operations out of Oregon to avoid the increased tax burden.
Yes. That is true for anything.
Period.
I'm sorry. I'm not letting you finish this.
No, it's fine.
I said,
although Oregon uses a single sales factor for apportioning taxes, the measure could still drive businesses to relocate or reduce their sales presence in the state. So all the cons that we discussed so far are big corporate interests malarkey.
Yeah.
One of the true cons is, what does this do to people who are receiving government assistance?
Federal
assistance, county assistance.
Yeah, I think that's tricky, because if you are getting food assistance or any other assistance federally,
yeah,
and that is means tested, you know, like you've got to make less than X amount of money. If that 1600 puts you over and now you don't get those benefits, but it doesn't put you over enough for you to pay for what those benefits
right.
took care of, that's rough. And I understand people being, you know, upset that that would be everybody receives $1,600. So people that don't need it or wealthier
people that paid into it.
Right.
Right.
I understand that the idea of why would rich people get it? But I'm very much in the boat of when it comes to that. Are we talking about everybody or are we
picking and choosing
what universal means, right. you know, like when I say we should have universal health care, single payer health care, that includes for the rich people that can afford their own health care. You right. know, that includes the people who are, you know, paying for Cobra or whatever
right.
and can afford it.
Right.
It's everybody, because everybody should be able to go to the doctor. Everybody should be able to do these things. And if that means that rich people don't have to pay for it in that way anymore, fine.
Everyone should also be getting the same level of care.
Absolutely.
Right. So that Absolutely. Also plays a factor. If it's okay, everyone,
well, universal health care,
except for the rich people, because they can afford it. You've already set a substandard for
we
yourself.
We already know what the universal is going to look like.
Right.
Yeah.
So
no, everybody's included. Much like when we were talking COVID, quote, stimulus money. Like, people were upset then that rich people would get it. Well,
yeah.
I don't understand. Are we all in the emergency or not? And I'm not saying that, I don't know. I just think it's interesting to want to means test everything, even when it comes down to like, what's the word here? Is it universal or is it some people get it?
Right.
And we know how that kind of thing happens. If it's just some people, we know who's going to fight it.
Right. Right. So, someone added in the chat, a text over, I believe the threshold is 25 million in profits and also includes corporations doing business in Oregon, even if not housed here. So like Walmart or Kroger. It's awesome.
I mean,
yeah,
this sounds like a very Portland initiative.
It really does. That along with ranked choice voting, this is all of this just sounds like yeah. Going back to the point you just mentioned about, you know, is it for everyone or not? When I first heard that rebuttal of I don't think rich people should get it, it caught me off guard because it came from someone that usually, in my opinion, is nailing it out here with some of their political opinions.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because when I said it to you, you were like, well, you know, everyone doesn't get it right all the time. And that's true. It seemed to me in that moment like, well, wait. The amount of people that aren't rich that will benefit from this, you'd rather they receive nothing because of the handful of the rich
that would receive the same thing.
That would receive this money that they'd probably spend on a lunch at the country club. That literally means nothing to them.
Right.
You're willing to just halt the whole process? Like, we gotta get it together, because that ain't it. That ain't it. Now, the issue of people being pushed off of their benefits, again, that's not complicated. There's a very simple fix. You're getting your benefits from the county, from the state. Like, this is part of the system here. This same system is also creating a situation that is going to give you a $1,600 windfall, why aren't y'all talking to each other to make sure one doesn't cancel out the other? Like, yeah, this shouldn't even be something for, like, in order for one to work,
y'all, the other needs to stay in place.
Right. So this isn't even something that should be come down to the voters, where it's like, how are we going to, I shouldn't even have to think about that. That's, what do you think?
That should be a part of the package.
Yeah.
Hard agree. I think that maybe verbiage in the bill can, you know, if you, I don't know exactly what that verbiage is, but I believe that you can write that in, that you can make it work where those are separate or not impacted by one another, you know? I think that's what they have to do, yeah, is change that language, because that's far more worrisome for me than wealthy people getting $1,600.
Yeah, like, seriously.
But it does truly worry me if it meant somebody no longer gets
their benefits. Yeah. A rent assistance.
Exactly. Because then we're not covering anything, and we're not helping. We're not making it. That $1,600. That's a. Okay, I guess.
Yeah. You might have just got somebody evicted.
Right.
There is a text from one Ruda.
Where? Oh.
It has a quote. Morgan has done so much for my cause and campaign, and she can't even vote for me. She's one of the good ones. That's Joe Kent, Washington's 3rd Congressional District.
I don't know who that is.
Well, apparently Joe does.
Let me go to the... Well... Rudo's a liar, so he's probably. Oh man, this doesn't look good. Oh no, Joe Kent, an American far right political candidate and former officer of the United States Army Special Forces. Oh man,
babe, why are you doing some Joe Kent?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy.
She said, "Oh boy."
I'm looking at this guy, and damn, Rudo, that's pretty good, but it's already my idea, so I'm still winning this petty battle, okay? Make me endorse people. Oh, I endorse no one.
So,
one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Oh, no,
one of the good ones is, yeah.
You know, racism is funny sometimes.
So I caught an episode of Ole and Friends. Shout out to News of My Fiance Squad. We be busting it up in Slack. And Shell sent over a link for this Ole and Friends video. The video is called The Sad State of Black Politicians and the Movement. And it was like an hour, maybe hour and 15, 20 minutes. Really, really good. Like super good. If you guys don't follow Lou Renati on YouTube or Yami or Lauren on Instagram, really good follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny, informative.
Very, very.
Lawyer.
Yeah.
Activist.
All the things. And if you've seen that takedown video of Eric Adams on The Breakfast Club, that's who we're talking about. Ole.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this particular clip, it's featuring Devin Barrington Ward. He's currently running for Atlanta City Council. And he said something that I have trying to figure out the right way to say it. Or I don't know. Yeah, just trying to put the right words together to convey the same thought. And I think I've attempted to do it over, you know, across a couple of shows. And as we're getting closer to November 5th, I think it's important that we kind of have a better understanding of what exactly that we're dealing with and having some realistic expectations around what we want from our leaders, both on the local level and the national. Let's see if I can pull this audio up.
And just talk about, Garrison, you talked about something about like being strategic, right? And I want to give an example. I had to have a conversation with, again, another organization that will remain unnamed for now. Very progressive, left of left, right? And they were like, so we need you to like not say that you're going to support Harris for president in order to get our support. And I said, now, let me give you all this political calculus in the lay of the land. I am in a race with five people for a citywide council seat. Two of those people are Black women. One of them sits on the school board. Do you think that I have a pathway to victory in the city of Atlanta if I come out against the first Black woman president that we could possibly have in this country? Where's your political analysis? Do you want to win or do you want to be right? And so we had to have a conversation, and eventually I just had to leave the table with, I'm okay not having you all support. Because, you know, of course, they brought up the genocide. I'm like, I've spoken out about the genocide. I'm the only candidate in the race that's willing to commit to introducing a divest from Israel legislation at the city council, just like city council did in the 1980s to divest from apartheid South Africa. I'm willing to do that. I'm right on all the issues. But because I'm unwilling to take this position that we must support other candidates for president who at this point don't have a pathway to victory, I'm unworthy of your support. I think that we have a really off political calculus right now. And so we've got to talk about that, because for many candidates who are running for office, who are movement candidates, those are some of the conversations that they have to have in order to be electable to the populace. And we are not ready to have that conversation, because work that we have not done the work in the progressive left to really take those positions and expect our candidates for local office to be successful by taking this ultra, ultra progressive position that most of the electorate is not at.
So I hope that was nice and clear as it was for us here in the studio. I think I had it a little bit high, maybe blowing you guys out a little bit earlier, the first 15 seconds of it. But especially that last part about us being realistic about what's at stake and what we actually have play at. So I've said a couple times in the past, accountability is kind of a hard thing for me to grasp right now with the way our political system is set up. And we all know corporate interests run politics. We're all looking for better alternatives. Everyone's tired of voting for the lesser of two evils. And every 4 years, we have start having discussions around, you know, a third party. But the work isn't being done, in my opinion, in between these 4 years. Every 2 years, we're not seeing the work to actually put people in place at the local level, at the state level. That really embrace the progressive ideas that we say we stand for. And we head over to the Democrats and say, hey, you need to be a progressive. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hold you accountable to being a progressive. So, like it or love it. Mm-hmm. It's this is a continuous exercise in futility. Where have we seen the evidence of this work? Where have we seen the evidence of this work?
Can't say we have.
Yeah, I can't say we have. I can't say we have. I really can't say we have.
I don't know how I feel about ultra, ultra progressive when I don't think we're talking about anything that ultra, but...
MK ultra progressive.
But what I do have to remember, it's MJ ultra, babe. What I do have to remember...
My bad.
Is we are the minority in our groups, you know? And I don't think that we are the minority largely, but I think that people don't know that they know or that they want the same things.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of people that are just like, yeah, this is what it is, so... That's what, you know, like, just even take your health insurance being tied to a job. It's just like, that's what it is. So that's what it is. You leave your imagination there. And what if it could be different? Would you want it to be different? You haven't thought about those things before. So sometimes it's a knee-jerk reaction. It's like, I don't need it to be different.
Right. Couldn't even imagine it being different.
Exactly. Yeah. But if we are talking about what it can be and what it looks like in practice and actually what that whatever initiative is, what it would do for people, and we're talking, you know, how it would materially change people's lives. Mm-hmm. Folks start to see, oh, no, that actually would be better, right?
Right.
It would be better if we didn't have to be bogged down by X, Y, or Z. Universal basic income would be great because of X, Y, Z. When you think of it in the ways that you're not being sold it, like, you know what I mean? People that are against a bill like that are going to tell you your prices are going up. Yeah. Your so-and-so's going up. Nothing, you won't even basically see that money.
Right.
Because
it's going to get eaten up with all the increases.
Right.
Cost of living. Everything's going to go up on you.
And what we need to remember is, one, that's a choice. And by that, I mean that's a greedy choice that companies or, you know, whoever makes when they get to try and like pawn it off on a tax code or something, when really it's you're choosing. You're deciding that because you are being taxed more money, you're going to raise the prices so that you don't have to lose in profit. And we're talking about large corporations that are profiting beyond belief.
Yeah.
And they're doing it not just by charging us too much money for the goods that they sell. They're also stealing from the people that work for them.
Precisely. We got a text, really good one, said the bill should include language that prevents unreasonable annual price increases beyond government reported inflation numbers on products, goods, and services. When businesses and landlords know their customers have access to quote unquote more money, their first goal is to try to extract it from their hands.
Exactly.
Local government should be trying to prevent that if they actually care.
Yes. Ding, 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 ding. Bingo. You win.
P-Town also said November 5th is my favorite holiday. National Day of Protest.
Yeah.
Hey, Bella. Yeah. Also,
P-Town.
In saying that people, like from our viewpoint, we may be in the minority, but from the things that we want, like you said, they're not radical. Like we're actually in the majority and people are not realizing that they want some of the same things. And there's so many dividing points purposely put out there, constructed for us to not realize our commonality.
Exactly.
Like I can imagine someone, and I've heard it, you know, in some of our spaces, whether it's text threads or just within community, where it's like, oh, that's for white people. I don't need to vote on that. I don't need to be concerned with that.
That ain't got nothing to do with me.
That's for white people. And I can imagine some racists or some bigots out there saying, well, if black people want this particular thing, it must not benefit me. It must actually disadvantage me in some way if this is something that the black community is pushing so hard for. Affirmative action. College acceptance rates. You see, they're now trying to sue. Yes. So, you know, it's very interesting. I just want to make sure that we're thinking big picture with this coming election. Shout out to Don't Write Renee. I really love that account. It's so informative.
It's so good. So good.
Oh my gosh. We got a paragraph just came. Can you read that? Can you see it?
Yeah. Hold on. Yes, I can.
Okay.
Cancel culture, perfect example of Portland being so black or white. You're either in their court or you're not, and when you don't seem to be, you're canceled. Many people are unwilling to come to the table to have a conversation that requires imagination, foresight, and the ability to see what's possible beyond, quote, what's in it for me, or what the bandwagon says is the right thing to do.
Mm. Yes. Yes. That's the point. That is indeed the point. That's where we're going with all this. All right. Now, do you want me to give you the Abercrombie?
Yes.
Do you? I was going to say, or the spousal identity theft, or the Memphis, or the Crime Stoppers? Crime Stoppers. Okay. I will give you the Crime Stoppers. A Memphis police officer, former Memphis police officer, Erica Hutchison, has been sentenced to 6 months in prison after pleading guilty to conspiracy to steal over $18,000 in Crime Stoppers reward money. The case, which has been kept under wraps until uncovered by WREG investigators, sheds light on a fraudulent scheme that Hutchison orchestrated using her position within law enforcement. According to federal courts,
yes,
Hutchison, who had access to the Crime Stoppers database, manipulated the system from August 2023 through November 2024.
Go on.
She entered false data to approve reward payouts, which were then collected by a person identified as KB.
Was it you?
It may have been. I don't know. Let me check my bank account. Hutchison and KB worked together to fraudulently receive a total of $18,500 in reward funds meant for legitimate tipsters. The scheme was discovered after the FBI conducted surveillance on January 10th at a Crime Stoppers payout location, where they observed KB picking up payments for two false tips. This surveillance This surveillance confirmed Hutchison's role in the conspiracy, which she used her position to facilitate by entering the fake updates in the system. Hutchison was placed on administrative leave in February during an internal investigation and resigned in April. While still under scrutiny, you know, they always get to resign. Mm. She was charged in federal court on June 3rd and pled guilty the same day to one count of conspiracy to commit theft from a program receiving federal funds. 2 weeks ago, she was sentenced to 6 months in prison, followed by 2 years of supervised release. In addition, Hutchison was ordered to pay $22,000 in restitution and undergo various treatments, including a financial literacy course, mental health counseling, and substance abuse programs. Mm. The case has raised questions about the safeguards in place to prevent such fraudulent activity. However, Crime Stoppers executive director stated that the misuse of funds was detected through internal safeguards and that the organization remains financially stable. She is now paying for her wrongdoing, he said, confirming that the systems in place worked to uncover the fraud. Despite Hutchison's guilty plea and conviction, officials from the state policing board confirmed they have not received any requests to decertify her as a police officer. Records indicate that Hutchison had been with the Memphis Police Department for 17 years before her resignation.
You know what?
WREG investigators.
If all you did was steal 18 grand, really, yeah, I don't know.
Why decertify it? Are continuing to probe the case, particularly the identity of KB and their relationship with Hutchison. Federal documents indicate that KB was charged separately, but further details have not been disclosed. The Memphis Police Department has yet to issue a statement regarding Hutchison's actions.
Well, I bet, because I have some follow-up questions.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, like, it said that the safeguards put in place are what alerted them to this. And I'm wondering how she got 18 with one person getting multiple payouts in a day.
Right.
Like, what are the safeguards? Should we not be just on KB alone. Let's just sit with, we didn't even change the name. We didn't, we're just, it's one person who knows about all the crime in the city. Like,
oh my gosh.
I think that that's a red flag on its own. I don't think the FBI has to come in for that one.
Yeah.
But I mean, I do understand it's federal dollars, I guess. I don't think I knew that. I don't know that I knew that Crime Stoppers was federal dollars. Oh, this is so interesting.
Yeah.
You are inputting information, false information about
the crimes. Oh, here's a tip.
But a tip, if you will. Yeah. Like,
here's a tip. That tip's worth $500. Here's another tip. That's worth $700. Tip, tip, tip. Tip away. $1,000. $5,000.
But doesn't Crime Stoppers work in a way where it's like if someone's arrested or found or like, it's not just like you call and be like, crime.
Right.
Crime right around the corner right now.
Crime is
happening.
Yeah. I mean, whatever the guidelines are.
Are we arresting people that did or didn't do these things? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I don't know. What is this? The text says, okay, we're going to talk about Trump and his BS photo shoot. What's the photo shoot? I'm
P-Town. Yeah. Someone said, geez, poor Hutchinson. What did Trump get for his fraud convictions?
He got the FBI watching him too.
And damn, aren't tipsters anonymous? I guess not. Listen.
Well, you got to put some initials in because you got to get paid.
You got to.
You know? What's it, so, P-Town, what's the photo shoot? What do you do? What do you do now? Do you give us a photo dump or?
It's interesting that here we are, Crime Stoppers, working with local law enforcement to incentivize the community to give tips. And
let's just make it in-house.
Local law enforcement, like, there's conversations about
tipping themselves off. Right.
There's conversations about what is Crime Stoppers doing to tighten things up. No one's saying, what
should
about
the
police
stop stealing from the funds?
It's like a given that the police are going to police what is Crime Stoppers doing about.
What's crazy about Crime Stoppers anyway? That is a line in which the police are like, we need your help. Help. What's going on out there? We don't have any access to figuring it out. How about you tell us? We'll give you a couple of bucks for it.
Oh, my gosh.
So now it's just in-house. Now we don't even need you from the outside. We're just going to make up the tips.
Yeah.
Does it lead to anything? That's what I think. I thought that Crime Stoppers had to lead to something in order for you to get the money.
Well, maybe that's, you know, also part of what caused the triggering of multiple red flags. There were no arrests. There's a whole bunch of tips.
Oh, just, no arrests.
Hey, man, these are supposed to lead to arrests.
You can't pay out.
Yeah, right.
Why are you guys paying out over there?
You did not get bingo. You did not.
Their accountant is peeved.
We take another music break before I hop into the rest of these stories?
Please do.
All right. Also, guys, remember, tis the fun drive. We are driving the funds.
Money, okay? money. Now, boom. now.
Boom. In the fun drive. Head over to our peer-to-peer. You can get there from the X-Ray homepage.
Yep.
You can also get there by hitting the link in our bio.
On the Instagrams.
On our Instagram.
At News with My Fiance.
Yes. The goal for today is $3,250, Apple. And 30 total givers, including 5 new members. That's today's goal. We can do that.
5 new members, we can do that.
We can do that.
I am confident that can happen. Yeah. Let's go.
All right. See you on the side of this music break.
Ambush, thank you for that song. If you're anybody welcome. Out there wants to know me a little bit better, I don't feel good. I think you can hear it in my voice. I keep putting my head down because I can't do anything other than that. And Ambush put that on and it made me smile like a little kid. the whole time. I love Kid Cudi. And the hums are spiritual.
They're spiritual hums.
Does anybody else feel the Cudi hums the way that I do?
Brooke made it clear last time we played some.
Oh, that's right.
Cudi for the win.
Yes. Love some Cudi. It's already Brooke and I.
Shout out to the squad, too. Showed up at No Requests. Was that last Sunday? It was this past Sunday.
In which I was supposed to be. I brought it all back to myself. Apologies. I was supposed to be Guillermo. Did anybody dress up?
No. I don't think we were really hard with the theme. But it was our 2-year anniversary. So shout out to everybody who came through for that.
Congratulations.
Squad. Thanks, man. Man. Amazing.
I love No Requests.
Yeah, man.
Did anybody, so nobody dressed up. Nobody missed me not dressing up then. So that's great. Yes. Is that Brooke? I don't know. I can't see the names.
Yes, Brooke.
Morning, fiancés. Turning in for the last 15. And yes, that dang song. So good.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so you gave me Crooked Copper. I would like to know about the sex trafficking CEO. Because it's when I was listening to a report yesterday, it sounds very similar to a one Sean P. Diddy Combs.
Yes, it should.
And that's not great, I think, is where I'm. I think we could all land on that's not good.
No, not at all.
Former Abercrombie & Fitch CEO Mike Jeffries indicted on those sex trafficking charges. Along with two associates, former Abercrombie & Fitch CEO Mike Jeffries has been indicted on multiple charges related to sex trafficking and interstate prostitution. The indictment announced on Tuesday accuses Jeffries, now 80, of using his wealth and influence to lure young men into sex acts under the pretense of offering them modeling opportunities. I probably shouldn't be the one reading this. Jeffries, who led the retail brand from 1992 until his departure in 2014, faces charges alongside his partner, Matthew Smith, 61, and employee James Jacobson, 71. Prosecutors allege that the trio orchestrated a scheme to recruit young men, often with premises of modeling work for Abercrombie, before coercing or forcing them into sex acts at events organized by Jeffries and Smith. U.S. Attorney Breon Peace described the operation as resembling a casting couch scenario where men were exploited under the guise of career opportunities.
The charges come years after Jeffries left Abercrombie following a series of controversies under his leadership. The brand was widely criticized for its exclusionary marketing tactics and sexualized advertising. Jeffries was known for unapologetically stating that the company targeted cool, good-looking people, a philosophy that later contributed to the brand's decline as cultural attitudes shifted. I definitely remember that. According to the indictment, Jeffries' partner, Smith, and employee Jacobson were instrumental in managing the logistics of the operation. Prosecutors allege that Jacobson acted as a recruiter, identifying potential victims and facilitating their participation at private events hosted by Jeffries and Smith. Some victims were reportedly assaulted by Jacobson himself. Jeffries, Smith, and Jacobson were arrested in separate locations, with Jeffries and Smith taken into custody in West Palm Beach, Florida, and Jacobson in Wisconsin. The indictment has brought renewed attention to Jeffries' controversial legacy at Abercrombie, where he was cultivating an image of exclusivity and sexualized branding. During his tenure, Jeffries faced multiple lawsuits and public backlash over the company's hiring practices and ad campaigns, including a $40 million settlement in 2003 over discrimination claims by Black, Latino, and Asian American employees. This guy's a piece of work.
$40 million in 2003, I mean.
Bruh.
Jeffrey's that's gotta be like $1 trillion, right?
Yeah. Jeffrey's attorney, Brian Baber, declined to address the specifics of the charges, but stated that they would respond in detail at the courthouse, not the media.
Hell yes.
The former CEO and his associates are scheduled to be arraigned on Friday at the federal courthouse in Central Islip, where where U.S. Magistrate Judge Stephen L. Tission?
Who knows?
Will preside.
It's a judge.
It's a judge, though. Matthew Smith, Jeffrey's longtime romantic partner, is known to have been involved in various aspects of Jeffrey's business dealings, including acting as an enforcer of workplace standards at Abercrombie.
Oh, well, Abercrombie. As a partner?
According to past reports, Smith was not formally employed by Abercrombie, but still wielded significant influence, raising questions about corporate governance during Jeffrey's leadership.
Yikes. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
The charges.
That sound like Tina Kotek. I'm sorry. Wow. I didn't mean to say that out loud.
The charges follow a separate civil lawsuit filed last year by David Bradbury, a former Abercrombie model. Bradbury alleged that Jeffries ran a sex trafficking ring during his tenure as CEO, claiming the executive used his influence to exploit prospective models. The criminal case now pending against Jeffries will further probe these allegations as authorities seek to hold him accountable for what they describe as a longstanding pattern of abuse and exploitation.
Now, what is not included in this story is a few of the details, if you will. That are Smith and Jacobson setting these different instances up. There was a whole other shell company that was paying for these sexy times.
Right.
Known in Diddy's case as freak-offs. I don't know what they would have been called. Over at Abercrombie. Yeah. White Hot or something. You know? But when you have created a company in order to traffic.
Right.
Under the guise of modeling for your big box brand. I honestly believe they have to be having TED Talks with each other. Like, there's got to be a seminar.
Yeah.
There's got to be, this is how you do it, guys. This has worked forever. And it's not working right now.
Right.
They're not probably continuing classes in this moment. You know?
Webinars.
Yeah. But this kind of intricate, multiple people having employees that are being paid to hire or get the travel, you know,
accommodations,
literally traffic
supplies,
people.
Traffic, yeah.
That's not folding t-shirts.
Nah, bro.
That's not marketing campaigns. You know, like those aren't actual jobs for a retail establishment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, what part of the world? What are we doing?
I mean, if we can. If only for a moment, if we could take a trip back to earlier in the show when Panera's box was opened. I think it's safe to say that there's definitely some through lines. There's something happening behind the scenes. You said one of the reporters asked the person at the press conference, you know, there seems to be a trend of these types of cases popping up. You know, are there any more? Or, you know, what else is coming down the pike? And my immediate reaction to that was, huh, you know what? Let me put my conspiracy theory hat back on. It's all connected. Everyone kept asking, when are we going to see the Jeffrey Epstein list? When are we going to see the Epstein list? When are we going to see the list? There's so many powerful people on this list. When are they going to get taken down? We need this list. Methinks you're seeing the list.
Okay. Oh no, is the list?
Methinks you're seeing the list. Other powerful people.
Flight log.
Mm-hmm. Who have been on these trips that have their own little sex trafficking enterprises. I think that's what we're seeing here, guys. Yeah. All you really need is one high profile celebrity that has everything to lose, whose name has popped up on the flight log, or his face has popped up in the video at Diddy's, or has or a witness is identified at the Abercrombie party, and that one person can tie it all together. And I'm talking about Kevin Spacey. I'm talking about Kevin Spacey, guys. This is, again, theories. I'm theorizing. But I do feel like I'm onto something. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh. Wow. Especially heinous is all I can say.
Yes, especially heinous.
Where is Olivia Benson? Don't call Stabler. Finn, are you here for this?
Bruh.
Sorry, there's so many texts coming in. Yeah. It's hard to...
It's popping. Michelle said, did these people take their playbook from a very special episode of Smart Guy? or what?
Oh my God, I so remember that show. I'm sorry, I'm going downhill fast.
Yeah. Someone else said, anytime you see these clothing stores open, despite them being empty as hell, and no one buying these clothes, something is going on behind Absolutely. The scenes.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow.
The almost like the money laundering that was happening right. at TD Bank, you know? I don't know. I should have mentioned that story. But TD Bank out here doing all the money laundering for cartels. Absolutely incredible.
That was just like, excuse me?
Especially when it's like there are a bunch of movies about the opioid crisis right now, right? And
movies, TV shows, documentaries, a lot.
All of it. It's like they just figured out it happened.
Right.
One of the ones, don't even remember the name, but they basically, I do remember. But, I think it's Body Brokers.
Mm.
That's more about rehab. Rehabs that
surgery are, and stuff?
No, no, no. Oh, okay. Like substance abuse rehab.
Oh, okay.
In live-in rehabilitation, but really it's like you're just a person there, which means that place is getting a bunch of money, and so someone just pays you to go do it.
Right, right.
So you finish treatment and you wait 2 weeks and then you go to a different treatment kind of thing. Like you're just getting paid to do that. Anyway, part of it was them being in, like, picking up people in a van and taking them around to do some of the things. And it's like that with that money laundering. Like, they were literally taking people to different branches in a van and having them deposit not, you know, money that would not raise a bunch of flags, but what would
under 10,000,
right, or whatever. Right. But then they were getting cashier's checks, and so the cashier's checks are then the clean money. But they're doing all of it right in the bank, so they're getting the cashier's checks. Maybe they pay someone right there.
This is not real. Like, this is just not. All this,
and then
gosh.
TD Bank is like, you guys, that is so weird. We had no idea that they deposited over $2 million in a day like that. I had no clue. Our system doesn't even tell us that.
White collar crime is always so interesting to me because there are always, no matter what, just because the nature of the systems that they're going through.
Yep.
There's always mounds of documentation. Mounds of evidence.
and so many different like clearances that you then or right. regulations you had to like look past or whatever in yeah. order to just like do the thing you just did that you're like, oh, I didn't know that was bad.
The amount of people that have to sign off.
Right.
It's just like the deniability is like, no.
It's no. crazy.
Yeah.
P-Town asked, wait, is Diddy and Amber Crombie, they're both clothing lines. Diddy did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean John Clothing have a clothing line. I meant the same in the way of these, whatever the business is. Like his was likely the record label that was, mm-hmm. you know,
financing
uh-huh. the freak off.
Sex trafficking. Yeah.
Sex trafficking is a better way to say that. Freak offs definitely is not working for me.
No. I don't like reporters saying
too many different implications.
But you know what? It's literally what he called them. So
yeah,
that's the proper name for these parties. He was.
What a mess.
Full mess.
Anyway, yeah, just any of these companies that are being able to disguise. Said bye, gonna go get a job at that bank.
P-Town, no. Slow down.
I hope they cut you in, you know, like only do it if you're getting a little piece. That is wild though. TD Bank really was just out here, and then it gave all the connections to
all the cartels.
Yeah, like it's like, well, this the money is coming directly from the Mexican cartel, but they're buying the fentanyl directly from the Chinese cartel. And then there's
so like, yeah, we're handling transactions too.
Yes,
we're handling their purchases as well.
Yeah, because now in China, they're not actually making the full fent; they're doing the compounds of it, and they ship that, and then. In Mexico, they do assembly in Mexico. It's absolutely incredible.
All to feed the U.S.
And guess what who pays it for it? The United States government, baby. War on drugs, baby. Yeah.
This is intense.
So much.
Wow.
I wish I had the time to do a deep dive, but I'm gonna die now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think we can get into. We can put it on the list for deep dives. That we'll get into a little later. A little later. Yeah. Thank you all. Thank you all so much for joining us today. News of my fiance. I didn't get a check. Didn't get a chance to check the fund drive. See if anyone did indeed hit the peer-to-peer.
But you're going to.
Yeah, I will.
Y'all are going to hit the peer-to-peer. I know it. We don't need to say it in this very second, but you're definitely going to, right? And anything that you were going to throw Stapled Sounds way, you are going to send our way as a form of reparations.
Wow.
That's I'm just trying good. To do the things he can't top. He can't beat that.
No, he can't beat that. It's pretty good. It's good stuff.
Rudo, you do not want to play the Oppression Olympics with me, buddy. Huh? I'm still scared he's behind me. Harper, is he still at home?
Yeah, I think he's still at home.
Anyway, we'll get to the thank yous definitely on our Instagram because we don't know
yeah.
just yet. That's our fault.
Yeah.
Not Nina's.
For sure. But yes, thank you ever so much for joining us. You know, brought to you by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, our podcast editor, Kyle G, for Central Audio. Thank you for all the texts, all the conversation this morning, everyone chiming in. The playlist is updated for the episode description. And yeah, man, we will see you guys on Monday, 6:30 p.m. on YouTube for the live show. We will also see you on the interwebs.
In between.
You know, doing what we do
today.
And you don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is indeed a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we're all free. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye.